everyone here this morning, blessed by your presence and the love that you have for each other. We're thankful for all the relationships we have. It's worth saying again that without this congregation, a lot of people here would know each other. It's this congregation that brings people together and have established these relationships. And again, we're very thankful for the connections that are made by this congregation and the time that we have together. This evening, we'll have a question and answer time for our sermon section of the worship. We will talk about one question about what are salvation issues. You've heard that phrase before. Well, what are they? What do we need to be thinking along those lines when somebody says, what is a salvation issue? I also talk about, well, what is the number one thing we can do to please God? Of all the things you can do to please God, what would be the most significant? How is the Lord pleased the most? You ever thought about that? Has that ever crossed your mind? Well, we'll think about those and a couple other questions tonight during our sermon time. But again, we're thankful that we can be here on the first day of the week to worship together in this place. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this life that you've given us. We're thankful for the hope that we have within us of heaven. We're thankful that you prepared a place for us, that if we've been found faithful, that we can live for eternity in a place of no tears and no pain and no disease and no heartache. We know that this life at times is difficult. We know that this life is challenging, that there are many stresses that we have, many temptations that we go through, and we pray that when we're mourning that you give us comfort, that when we are hurting, that you give us relief, that you take our burdens upon you, because our burdens are light on you, and they're heavy on us. We pray that you bless all those who are hurting today, who are recovering from recent surgeries or illness. We are most thankful for your Son, Jesus, who came to this earth to die for us. We know that if he had not done that, we would be dead in our sins, having no way to be forgiven. We would be condemned for even one sin that we committed, a violation of your will, but Jesus died and sacrificed himself and took on the punishment we deserved so that we can go to heaven even though we deserve to go to hell. Bless us this morning as we open your word. Keep us safe in the palm of your hand and give us mercy and grace. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Where do we find encouragement in this life? It's something that's often very hard to find because there is discouragement everywhere. Everywhere you go. I mean, there's discouragement inside your own house when you're trying to train your children and they don't listen to what you're teaching them. And that's discouraging. You think, what am I doing wrong? Why am I saying this or doing this? I mean, try this, try that. The message isn't getting through. And that's not a new thing. We read people in the Bible that have trouble with the kids, had trouble being good parents, may have been great, very faithful people outside of their own home, but couldn't seem to raise their own children well. Didn't have enough time there. We know stories, again, of people who are faithful preachers, faithful elders, faithful people in church that don't seem to be very good in that area or seem to have children that are just rebelling against everything, and that's discouraging. You say, this is my flesh and blood. These people are from my stock, and we're faithful. Why aren't they like us? Why don't they want to be faithful like we are? Why are they running away from everything that we're teaching them? A lot of parents go through that. It's a very frustrating, discouraging time of life. What about mentoring? As far as having a mentor that's been teaching you all of these different things in about life in every different direction. Now they're teaching you about money, and all of a sudden you find out that they're not as good as you thought they were. They're not as faithful as they portrayed themselves. You think, uh-oh, this coach, this Sunday school teacher, this teacher I had at school, they did something terrible in life, and that's discouraging. Start to doubt everything you ever learned from them. Start thinking about everything they ever said. I can't trust them anymore. I can't believe what they say. Or what about the moral decline of the country? How many times you sit around people saying, when I was a kid, this didn't happen. They never dreamed of this happening. This wouldn't be going on in schools. This wouldn't be happening in the community. Never thought of having drugs anywhere near I lived when I was growing up. When I was 8 years old, I could walk 3 or 4 miles down the road to a friend's house. Mom and Dad never cared, never thought about somebody coming along and harming me in any way. You've all had those conversations. Maybe you haven't, but maybe you've heard it from your parents and grandparents and say, this country's not the same one I grew up in. And then you look down at your own children and say, what kind of country are they going to grow up in? We've had a lot of different presidents, we've had a lot of different elected officials over the years, but things still keep going in the same direction in that regard. The cultural moral decline keeps happening, and that's very discouraging for a Christian who is imperfect himself or herself, but says, would it be easier? Would it be better? Would it be more encouraging to be in a place where the moral values that I hold are being promoted out there? They once were. I remember talking with a lady once that for years had a Sunday school class where she taught the teenage girls. And she said, well, the proudest things about that class, these girls grew up and were faithful, went through a lot of different people, and grew up and raised their own families, did a lot of different things, and they did really well. She said, I'm really proud of all those girls. And, you all right? Hold on just a second. This one in particular, this lady was talking about some of the things that were going on in the girls that she grew up, that were in her class, and she said the ones that were in her class did really well, and the ones that were, but their children were not. And she was very discouraged by that, said, how is it that, you know, all these years, 10, 20 years, I taught these girls, and they did well, but these other ones got worse in terms of the moral beliefs of their families. And one of the things that I talked to her about, I said, well, the difference is when you were teaching those classes 40, 50 years ago, a lot of the same things you taught those girls in Sunday school were things that they were encouraged to do out of the world. They were the same things they heard from teachers. They were the same things they heard, you know, they would have been embarrassed to do in front of anybody. But the difference is now their kids are growing up where you're saying one thing in the Sunday school class, and they're saying one thing from the pulpit, they're saying one thing at home, and they're walking out the door and hearing the exact opposite. They're hearing something else altogether. And there's a challenge there. They're getting two messages. And they're listening to the one in the world more often. And what happens? We're more discouraged because of that. Where do we find encouragement then? It's easy to find discouragement. It's easy to find places that bring us down, people that will bring us down. Where do we find encouragement? Well, of course, Colossians tells us, the famous verse, Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Just in that, just generally speaking. The Bible says the best place to find encouragement is to look up. Think up. Think about the Lord. Think about heaven. Think about the grace and mercy of the Lord. Put your mind there. You know, there's a lot of people say, I don't turn on the news anymore because it's so discouraging. I understand that. They said, you know, I need to think up. I need to think vertically. I don't need to think about the things, the hard things that are going on around me. The Bible teaches us to do that. Your faith always, must always be in the Savior and not the saved. We put all our faith in the saved. In other words, I put all my faith in somebody sitting in this room. I put all my faith in a spouse. Put all my faith in a person. You know what people are really good at? Losing their mind and changing their mind. People tend to be really good at both of those things. That's why it's really hard to put all of your faith, not to put any faith in someone. You put faith in people every day. We have to put faith in people. But we're talking about the ultimate amount of faith. We're talking about where is your spiritual faith? Is it in the parent? Is it in this person over here? Because when it comes to faith, those people would change their mind. Those people would lose their minds. Those people might wander away. They might leave the Lord. Then what are you going to do? Because you don't have your own faith. You've set all of your faith, and they leave the Lord, and you're discouraged, and you blame God. God didn't have anything to do with it. It was that you put all of your faith, your spiritual belief, your faith in this human being. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says something interesting. This is the last part of that verse. It says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's an interesting phrase. Different versions have different words there for encouraged. One says, strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Strengthen himself. You ever get to the point where you have to encourage yourself when everything going around you is really bad? You have to do that sometimes. A friend of mine, preacher, you may know, Jerry Barber, one time went to a trophy store, trophy and plaque store. He said, I want to make a plaque. I want to buy a plaque. I said, okay, what do you want to put on it? He says, I want you to put, thank you, Jerry Barber, for 5 years of service at the such and such Church of Christ. He said, no. He said, sir, I'm sorry. What do you want to put on? Your name's Jerry Barber. What do you want to put on the plaque? He said, that's what I want you to put on the plaque. I want you to put, thank you, Jerry Barber. He said, and he was still confused. He said, you're Jerry Barber. He said, yes. You want to make a plaque that says, thank you, Jerry Barber, for all your service. He said, yes. And he said, okay. I don't understand it, but all right. So sure enough, he made the plaque, put it on his desk. They went, bought it, put it on his desk. People come to the office, say, well, who gave you that? He said, I gave it to myself. Why? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I've been at church quite a while now, and nobody threw a dinner. Nobody seems to really care how many years I've been there. And he said, they don't seem to acknowledge anything that I've done. And he said, I kind of got down about that. And he said, I started really thinking about it a lot. It really discouraged me. And one day I was studying 1 Samuel chapter 30, and sure enough, it said David encouraged himself. And he said, I just needed a little encouragement myself. So he said, now I can see that plaque every day and get a bit of encouragement for what I've been doing at that church. And it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, of course. He wasn't trying to have them throw any artificial type of dinner for him or give him anything. But he was making the point of, at times, if nobody else is going to pat you on the back, and not in a put him on a pedestal kind of way, but just sometimes nobody else is going to do it. Sometimes you have to do it yourself. And just say, you know what? nobody else is going to be faithful, I'm going to be faithful. Nobody else is trying to do the right thing, I know I'm trying to do the right thing. If in fact you are, and I'm going to keep doing the right thing, because I will put all my faith in the Lord, I'm not going to put all my faith in people. Faith's always going to be the Savior, not always in the saved. First thing we need to do about really finding good encouragement is, of course, finding that encouragement in Scripture, from Scripture. Notice in the book of Acts, when the church was in its infancy, how these men, the apostles and others, put their faith totally in the Lord and found encouragement in the Lord. These men were being arrested, harassed. They were being discouraged in every front. Beginning of verse 18 of Acts chapter 3, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Turn one page over, Acts chapter 4. Listen to where they said, you know, all my encouragement comes from. Chapter 4, beginning of verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be made known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He said, you're criticizing us for healing this man the way we went about that, but you know what? I know that this happened by the Lord. I know that this happened by the Lord. And I don't really care too much about your criticism of it. You ever do something good in the name of the Lord and be criticized for it? He went on to say, you know, in that same chapter, he says, look, I don't know if what we did, if what we have preached is a violation of your law. If it is, you make the law, you make the punishment. But we're not going to stop preaching about these things. We're going to put our faith in the Savior and not the saved. Not, or the unsaved, as it were. There are other passages here that we can turn to. It simply says, our encouragement can begin in Scripture, reading these passages. Our get up in the morning feeling, what motivates us to live out our day is, heaven is still heaven. The Lord is still the Lord. My sins are still washed away because I'm still living for Him and putting all my faith in Him. And He's given me another day to be alive so I can move forward. Doesn't mean everything fixes. Doesn't mean that every person I meet today is going to be nice to me. Doesn't mean my boss is going to give me the raise and the promotion. Doesn't mean the kids are going to act right. Doesn't mean any of that. What it does mean is none of those things that happen today are going to change any of the fact that heaven is still where it is. The Lord is still there. My sins are still washed away. And I'm alive. Those people can't change those facts. We're reminded of those facts when we read God's Word. Number two is, you have to remember that humans never stop being human. We're funny like that. We're going to be human tomorrow, as much as we were today. We only stop being human once we are resurrected. when we're changed at the resurrection, that's when we're going to stop being fully human in the way that we are now. We will always be tempted in this life to be emotional reactors instead of purposeful actors. Imagine how different things would be in your relationships with anybody if you didn't deal with people as with an emotional reaction. In other words, they did something bad or they said something to me and it's just an emotional reaction. What instead of that, all that we did in our interaction with people was to be purposeful and to just act. I don't mean actor here, somebody on stage. I mean just one who acts. I'm not going to always just be reacting to what you do. But I'm going to do purposeful things before emotion gets involved. For somebody else, wouldn't every relationship be better? Being in Christ does not prevent us from being in trouble. And I don't mean I'm about to be punished for something. I mean just having trouble. Being in Christ is not going to stop somebody from being in trouble. Because nobody's immune. When you start thinking that the guy or the woman who has the house and the car and the job and all the things you don't have say, well, it doesn't look like they have trouble. Of course they do. They can just buy a lot of things to make it look like they don't. Of course they have the same problems. The cancer doesn't care about their car. There's still going to be death in the family. There's still going to be resentment. There's still going to be all the types of things that go on with everyone else. We're all going to face trouble. Being in Christ doesn't change that. The Apostle Paul couldn't have been more in Christ if he tried. And he was always in trouble. Prison, shipwrecked, beaten. And never once said, you know, this Christianity thing's not for me because I thought it was the easy life. I thought that just put a bubble around me and all the pain was for all the people out there in the world that didn't believe in him. The pain for all the people in the world is not going to be different now. What it's going to be different is a judgment. When our pain goes away, and really their ultimate pain just begins. We need to remember that humans are never going to stop being human. Always going to be that way. We have to remember number three, ways to find encouragement in this life. Is you never give anyone what belongs to Christ. Went to a luncheon one time years ago, probably at least 15 years ago. And a man got up to give a presentation as a preacher and he said one of his mentors that we talked about earlier had done something horrible. Well, he ended up in prison. And he said, I was devastated, and he said, I almost quit being a Christian. He said, it wrecked me to the core. And I started doubting everything I'd ever preached. I started doubting everything he had ever said. I just thought I was living a life of deception, being deceived. It was awful. And he said, finally, I went to this another older preacher that I knew, somebody I thought I could talk to and trust. And he listened, and he said, I went on and on and on about it. He said, I laid out everything that guy did and how much it hurt me, and I cried. And I said, what am I supposed to do now? He said, I'm questioning being with the Lord. And he said, that man just sat there and nodded and listened and listened and listened. He said, you forgot to do this. He just held out his arm. He said, what's that mean? He said, you got to extend your arm sometimes and realize that you can't let everybody all the way in. He said, there's an amount of loyalty that you only give the Lord. And you don't put all your hope in a person. That you don't put all your faith the person. He said, you let him too far in. He said, people can change their minds, people can lose their minds, and we have to remember that people are just that, they're humans. They're people who have been sinning since the Garden of Eden. That doesn't mean you don't love people. It doesn't mean you don't get married. It doesn't mean you don't have kids. It doesn't mean any of that. It simply means you don't give it all to them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, whoever loves mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. You see what he means? Does that mean Jesus said you can't love your mom and dad? No. More than me. What he was saying. Because you do that, and you are setting yourself up to be highly discouraged. You're putting your faith in a person, and not leaving your faith between you and the Lord. See, then when that person fails, when that person does wrong, that person lets you down, you say, well, it hurts. It still hurts. But I'm not wrecked to the core. I'm not leaving the Lord. Because I know that they're capable of that. And you know what? The person in the mirror is capable of hurting people too. And I've probably said some things that hurt people. I probably did some things that people care about me didn't like. It's not always about what other people do and all the bad things they do and as we live a perfect life. I always have to remember they're humans and you're a human too. Makes life a little bit more bearable. God isn't just here for the good times. Remember, He's not just here for the good times. Remember that when you're discouraged, when you're at the bottom, God's there for that too. He is there when you're hurting the most, when you're disappointed the most, when those people hurt you in whatever way they do. He's right there with you. He was right there with Elijah, and Elijah was under that tree wanting to die, chased by Jezebel, wanting to kill him. He was right there with Paul every time he was in prison, every time he got whipped, every time he got rejected. And he was right there in heaven when his own son was dying on a cross. Right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, just as which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Paul said we're all in the same boat. We're all going to face affliction. But anytime I'm afflicted, I'm comforted by the Lord. And anytime you're going to be afflicted, you're going to be comforted by the Lord. He blesses both of us in that way. If we're comforted then, we hand that over to you. He blesses us, we'll bless you. And that's the great blessing we have in the church, to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, knowing that we're all going to be discouraged in some way, somehow. We encourage you this morning to become a Christian if you are not. The Lord has allowed you to live another day, allowed you to have life. We encourage you today to give your life to Christ, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are hurting in some way, if you are discouraged in your walk with the Lord, if something is on your mind, your heart that needs to be expressed, anything that needs to be brought forward, we'd love to pray for you, pray with you, and give you that comfort that Paul says comes to us from the Lord. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.